Father, thank you for your love for us. And if we could just imagine the glory that we will see in your presence, you are beautiful. Colors that we couldn't imagine. Peace that we've never experienced. Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm us with your presence and peace, Lord. Empower us to walk with you. In spite of ourselves, you love us. And it's a love that's unconditional, not based upon our faithfulness, but based upon you. And so we thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, that we may worship you and feed upon your word, as you've created a feast for us to dine on. Spiritual food, Lord, words of wisdom that are transforming. Help us, Lord, to walk with you this day. I pray that you would enable us to set aside all the worries of the week, the concerns of life. As we watch the news and see things happening around the world, it creates anxiety. Let us trust in you. Things are not falling apart. Things are falling into place in your perfect will. You are sovereign. And so we don't trust in our government to protect us, our armies and horses and swords, Lord, but we trust in you, that you would provide and protect us. Lord, you fill us each day with your love and compassion. Each beat of our heart is orchestrated by your hand. Every breath that we take is allowed by you. And so, Lord, let us fall into your arms anew this morning and be excited about that we are yours, your children, Lord, and that we would be with you forever. Let us have joy in our heart. It's our choice to live in joy or live in misery, Lord. We choose to live in joy. So we lift this time up to you, all that we have and all that we'll do for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You turn with me this morning to James chapter 1 as we go through the book of James chapter by chapter, verse by verse. James is telling us, as we left off last week, he's speaking to us about our conduct, about the purposes in our life, how we can walk with the Lord. He says in verse 21, where we left off, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay aside the things that are not of God. Lay aside that sin, that fleshly desire that keeps nagging at you. You have the power now, if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit, who God calls as the helper, he's also the empowerer to enable you to overcome. I spoke Friday night and the band played. We were in Boynton Beach at Faith Farm, Recovery Ministry, Celebrate Recovery, about 200 people there. And I said, this is where I want to be, because this is where miracles happen. You guys are overcomers. You guys are victorious in your walk with the Lord. And it was amazing to see their hearts in worship, praising the Lord, attentive to the message that was there. Laying aside the things that would draw us away from the best things that God wants us to have, right? And God is so much smarter than us. We think we know so much, but we really don't. It's kind of like the child who goes into the Sunday school and the mother says, listen, if you're good today, I'm going to give you a nickel when you come out of Sunday school. So the young girl was so excited going into Sunday school, she's going to get a nickel, and she was so good that morning. The teacher says, wow, your daughter was so spectacular today. She even helped me read the Bible. And the mother says to the little girl, you went so good, I'm going to give you a quarter instead of a nickel. And the young girl jumps up and down and says, no, I want the nickel you promised me. You see, we don't always know the value in God's plan for our life. And so many times the things that we think are so important that we have to have, that we want, and we think will fulfill our desires, we miss out. We miss out. Like the child wanting the nickel, not realizing that God or the mother gave that child so much more, with so much more value, so much more opportunity, with more money than she had before, could have done so many things. And yet, in our flesh, we miss out, right? The Bible says if we harbor hatred in our heart or bitterness in our heart, that we forfeit the gifts that could have been ours. we forfeit gifts that God could have given us. Why? Well, we didn't have the right heart. Our focus was on ourselves and our desires and our wants and our selfishness, and we become judgmental. And God says, listen, I'm pouring my spirit in you, and I'm going to transform and change you. You've heard my story before. When the Lord came into me, he poured love and compassion, grace and mercy. These are things I was totally void of. And then I began to see people as he does. People have value. You have value. God has valued in you. He gave his all for you so that he could be with you forever. That to me is amazing. That is amazing to me that God would want to be with me forever in eternity as his child. But that's what he says. And we hold on to that truth and that promise because in that is blessings from God, not just when we get to heaven, but the here and now, right? The Holy Spirit then comes in our life. And I spoke Friday, and I said to the people there, listen, I used to have those four-letter words every other sentence. I used to have those thoughts. I used to go to those places. But when the Holy Spirit came in me and I surrendered my life to the Lord, he began to change me. He changed my language. I no longer speak that way. He changed the way I think. I no longer think that way. I no longer hang out with the people that would draw me away from the Lord. And yet, I then became an example for them to follow. Not because I'm great, but because I have died to myself and arisen anew in Christ Jesus, and so have you. And so now that old person that used to rule your life is dead. The Bible says that we are dead in Christ, but we also have risen anew in Christ too, and empowered by his Spirit. So now, James is telling you and me, lay aside those filthiness, all filthiness. Why does he say that? Because he knows we have the power to do it. We have a choice. We have the ability to say, you know what? I'm not going to go there today. And every time I say, you know what? I'm not going to go there today, I get stronger. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to submit myself to God. And we always say, we quote half the verse, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, right? But the first part of that verse is to submit to God. And he'll give you the ability to resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. And so I hold on to those promises. Here's the promise, the devil will flee from you if you resist him. But you only get that power as you submit to God. And the Holy Spirit now enables you. So James is saying, listen, you can do it. God would never tell us to do something if he didn't give us the ability to do it. Did you capture that? You may feel, oh, there's no way. But that's a lie. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if God says it in his word, he will enable you to do it. So James is telling us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lay aside filthiness and that overflow of wickedness. Overflow of wickedness. We see it all around us. I had the blessing and the opportunity yesterday to speak at a pastor's conference. And I talked about being in law enforcement for 29 years and really seeing the extremes of good and evil. But now in today's society, it's hard to find the difference, right? Because evil now is the norm. There was a time that the politicians would want your vote. They would want to come into the church and tell you what kind of men they are, what kind of women they are, how they love the Lord and their character is right. They want nothing to do with us now. We're the outcasts. We're the outsiders. And that's amazing to me. But we know why. Why? Things are not falling apart. They are falling in place. God's plan is working out. He says, and receive, verse 21, James 1, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. These are not just words that someone wrote on a page that we could come together and talk about and then leave here and do whatever we want in our life. These are transforming, life-changing words. If we would hold on fast to these promises, lay aside the things that draw you away from the Lord. Receive the word of God with meekness, humility. Humility. Oh, Lord. I don't know everything I think I know, right? If we gave you a sheet of paper and you write down everything that you know, how many sheets of paper would that be? Mine'd be like 1.5, right? How much do you really know? We think we got it all together, right? But really, how much we know? The Word is able to save us both, listen, in the current situation that we are in, right? So I talked about being anxious. Things are happening around. If you put on the news, oh my goodness, you'd think the world's at its end right now. It's happening right now. How many are on Facebook? How many just lied and didn't put their hand up? Everybody's on Facebook. See, I told you somebody was. Everybody's on Facebook. I use it. I'm on there. If you want to friend me, Ken Kerrigan. Some of you guys, we'll talk later, are not on it. Listen, we could use it for ministry. The reason why I'm on it is evangelism. And I had someone send me a message at 2 o'clock in the morning the other day. Someone that I went to middle school with, who I haven't seen since middle school, but found me on Facebook and found out I was a pastor, and it was just like rambling on how the world's going down and they need answers and all this. What an opportunity to minister to someone, right? So I don't know why I asked if you're on Facebook, but anyway. Oh, here it is. It's chaos on Facebook now. It's like watching the news. All we see is all these bad things, right? There's no more happy things on there. It's either advertisement or misery. And we get anxious and we get excited. Oh my goodness, look what's happening around us. What am I going to do? Who's going to take care of me? What happens if ISIS comes? Listen, they're here. Evil is everywhere. We've been attacked. Are we going to fear and worry? No, we're going to trust in God. We're going to trust in the Lord. We have a window of opportunity before this door closes. And the church is raptured, and everything goes back to the Jew in Israel, and there's chaos because the Holy Spirit has removed from the earth. Those who believe won't be here during that time. But in Daniel, there was a 70s, 69 of those seven-year periods have already happened. The clock stopped when Jesus died and rose on the cross. Died on the cross and rose again. The prophetic clock had stopped. Why? So that God now, because we're living in a time of grace, is calling you and me to salvation. He's calling all men to himself. That's why he tells the disciples, hey, go and make disciples, followers of me, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I taught you, and oh, I will be with you forever. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to minister, to love people. Because eventually, the door will close. Either the rapture of the church happens or God calls us home individually. But we're living in a time of salvation where God is not counting our sins against us. He's not judging us as a people for our sins. And so now is the time we have the words of salvation. Receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God. Jesus is the word, the Spirit of God is the word, right? Which is able to save your souls. So he's able to save us both in our current situations, the things we're going through, and eternity forever. How many of you think about eternity often? Some of us do. How many have anxiety about, oh, what's going to happen to me when I die? I pray you don't, because if you're in the Word, you're living in joy now with the Holy Spirit dwelling with you, and then when we leave here, it's eternal paradise with God forever. That's His promise. Jesus says in John chapter 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. If you trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go there now to prepare a place for you so that when I come back, I will receive you unto myself so that where I am, you will be also. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. Jesus came, died for our sins, paid that penalty for our sins, and now he's in the presence of the Father. And he will come back to receive us unto himself so that we would be with him forever. So it could be individually God calls us home, or he'll meet us in the clouds at the rapture of the church is taken away. So the Word of God has the power to save us now in our current situation, because here's what Philippians says, to be anxious about nothing, but in all things, prayer and petition, let your requests be known to God. And here's the amazing promise of that. And the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guide your heart and your mind, how you feel and how you think, through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Does he do that? Absolutely. Have I ever prayed that? Absolutely. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Help me, Lord. And he gives me that peace in spite of the circumstances. The peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guide you, your heart and your mind, through Christ Jesus. And so this word, the purity of God's word, will preserve us in an impure age, in the impure world, right? Remember I talked about the boat? It's not the water that's outside of the boat. Water is a boat's worst enemy, right? Now, I'm 3 weeks talking about this, but it's a great illustration. Water is a boat's worst enemy, but the boat is supposed to live in the water, right? And it's not the water around the boat that sinks the boat. It's the water that gets in the boat that sinks the boat. So we're called to live in this fallen world, but we're not to let the fallen world to get into us and draw us down. We're created now, empowered by the Spirit, to walk in this world where we see chaos happening. What are you doing? What are you talking about to people when they start talking about all the things that are happening? A word, a phrase that will silence them. Things are not falling apart. Things are falling in place. God is sovereign. He's working out his plan. Now, I put that on Facebook, and I had the Christians agree with me, and I had one sergeant I used to work for, you know, come back, and, oh, if that's his plan, I don't agree with it, and all this other. I didn't respond to it because he doesn't know. And I'm not going to get drawn into an argument on Facebook. I gave a truth. Now, there's a group that accepted it, and there's a group that would reject it. So as we continue on, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. One thing about deception is when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived, right? It's a trickery. It's a fooling yourself. So you could say, be doers of the word and not hearers only, fooling yourself, tricking yourself, deceiving yourself. When God says to live separate from the world and that sex is a gift from God, it is under parameters with marital couple, man and a woman, live under that. Am I a doer of God's word? Am I trusting in his plan in purity? Because if I'm not, I'm deceiving myself. Peter, we've talked about Peter, a man of God, a man's man, a fisherman, tough guy. You know, when he went to come and arrest Jesus, he pulls out this sword and he slices off the officer's ear, and the ear tumbles to the ground. Jesus picks it up and puts it right back on. Now, you think everybody that was there would have got saved, right? That's not what happened. Peter took it out, and so he was a man's man, right? But he kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. Why? Trying to do the right thing in the wrong way, in the flesh. So when Jesus is brought before Pontius Pilate, before that, Peter says, listen, I would die for you. And Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Now, I don't know what Peter felt when he said that, but that happened. Jesus said it, and it happened. Jesus says, the Spirit of God in you is a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance, and it's true. It's a fact, whether you believe that or not. You might not believe in gravity, jump off this roof, and it'll be prove itself, right? We might not have full understanding, but it is the truth. And so when the Holy Spirit, well, here, Peter thinks he's got it all together. Lord, I'm going to die for you. And he says, you're going to deny me. And he says, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to shake your life. And here's what Jesus says, but I am praying for you Jesus, the creator of the world, is not only died for us, the Spirit dwells within us, but he's now praying for us. That's amazing. If you ever think you're alone, you're not alone. The Spirit of God dwells within you, and Jesus is praying for you. And here's what he tells Peter. Because Peter must have been broken at that time, right? Oh, man, Satan wants to take me out, and I'm going to deny you. Man, what's going on with this plan, right? But Jesus tells Peter, Peter, when you come back to me, feed my sheep. Now, why did he say that? When you come back to me, feed my sheep. Because he knew that Peter was going to deny him and fall. But he also knew that he was going to come back to him because he believed in him. And Jesus didn't let him go. And when you come back to me, feed my sheep. And so I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter now tells us, the body of Christ, listen, add to your faith. It's not just believing. Yes, it's believing for salvation, but now add to that faith. Add to your belief knowledge. Have understanding of what God is saying in his word. Study. Listen, the difference between us and the animal kingdom, well, there's many differences, but we have the ability to rationalize and to think. And so God has given us his word to study and to read, and his Spirit will give us understanding. Add to your faith. Add virtue. Live a virtuous life, a sanctified life, set aside brotherly kindness and love. And he says that if you do these things, you will never stumble. He's not saying you'll never sin, but you'll never stumble in your walk with the Lord. Why? You're solid. God loves me. I don't care what's happening around me. God loves me. God's going to take care of me. If he calls me home today, I'll be with him forever. That's the promise. Wear this life like a loose coat. Here you go. We're out of here. But while we're here, we need to love one another. Jesus is love. If the world did what the gospel says to do, would we have this chaos? We have this chaos, which is called sin, because man has walked away from God. So be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is just a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and he goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and it is not forgotten here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What is he talking about? We must receive God's word as doers, not mere hearers. And to take comfort in the fact that you have heard God's word when you haven't done it is to deceive yourselves. But God loves and he forgives, right? So maybe we've just come to church and listened to the word, but we haven't applied it to our life. He's saying we're deceiving ourselves. In the ancient world, it was common for people to hear a teacher, but if you followed the teacher and tried to live what he said, you were called a disciple. You were a follower of that teacher. Jesus is looking for disciples, doers, not just those who are hearers. But the one who heard God's word and did it was like a man whose house was built on a rock and could withstand the inevitable storms of life that would come. Now, the one who only hears God's word without doing it, he is the same sense in instability as the man who looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he saw. He looks in the mirror and he forgets what he saw. Here's the point. The information he received did not do anything, any good in his life. There was no transformation in his life. He heard the word, but because he didn't act upon the word, he didn't benefit from the word. Does that make sense? My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all you do, acknowledge him and he will set your path straight. What do I do? Trust in the Lord. Well, I don't understand. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Well, what do I do? In all you do, acknowledge me. Why? I will set your path straight. This is what he's saying. Now, I need to live those words. What was I supposed to do? To trust in the Lord. What else was I supposed to do? Lean not on my own understanding, because I don't know everything, right? But in everything that I do, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. So there's action in that entire verse, those two verses, 5 and 6. There's action. I need to be doers of that, and I will benefit and reap the harvest of that the scripture tells us. So the one who doesn't do that is the one who the information he received did not do any good in his life. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not forgotten, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is the wonderful way that is described the Word of God in the New Testament covenant. God reveals his law, but it is a law of liberty written on the transformed heart by the Spirit of God. It's not just the do's and don'ts, it's the Master's plan. The Master's plan. The Creator's plan. One of the pastors yesterday, wonderful Pastor Alan Platt out of South Africa, spoke about hearing the Master's voice. We hear everybody's voices around us, don't we? We have everybody's opinions, all the news commentators' opinions, right? But are we hearing the Master's voice? Are we hearing the Word of God? Are we hearing Him speaking to our hearts? If anyone among you, verse 26, thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Gusick says real religion is not shown by hearing the word. And here's another word for just hearing the word, coming to church. It's not just by coming to church, hearing the word, right? It's not just by showing up, hey, pastor, 2 weeks in a row, did you see me in the back? Look at me. That's another word for just hearing. It's just showing up, right? But by doing, the one way to God's word is to bridle the tongue. He thinks his religion is he thinks he's religious. In the ancient Greek language, religion is a word that is never used in a positive sense in the New Testament. Religion is man's way or attempt to get to God. Religion is man's way to do certain things and act certain ways to try to get to God. We could never get to God. That's why God came to us. And he says, I'm here to die for your sins, and those that believe in me would have eternal life. And no, I'll be with you always. Jesus didn't die on the cross and go to heaven and say, hey, I hope you make it. I'll be looking for you. What car do you drive? That's not what he said. He says, I know you're not going to be able to do it. That's why I must go to the Father. And if I go to the Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that comes in your life and he transforms. Now, how does he do it? I just need to trust in him. I just need to surrender to him. I just need to go into his presence. And when I do that, it's not like I get more of God. He gets more of me. And his promise to me and you is that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. We will feel his presence, spiritual presence. We will hear his word spoken to our hearts, and we will be able to act upon the things that he tells us to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen is right, brother. I'm excited about that. Verse 27, we're going to finish this chapter. Maybe. Well, speaking of bridling the tongue, this one's religion is useless. Your walk with God is useless if it does not translate into a way you live and the way you treat others. Did you capture that? Your faith is useless if it doesn't translate, doesn't show itself in the way you live, the things that you do. Many are deceived in their own heart regarding the reality of their walk with God, thinking, hey, I went to church today, praise the Lord, I understood what the pastor said, and hey, let's go party. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't translate. Something's wrong with that. If you see a policeman breaking the law, you say, there's something wrong with this guy. He's not what he says he is, right? Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So a real walk with God shows itself in simplicity, in practical ways. It helps the needy and keeps itself unstained by the world's corruption. There's a great deal of pure an undefiled religion in the sight of man that is not pure and undefiled in the sight of God. Did you capture that? The practical things, the little things, the orphans and widows, those who have been or alone for whatever reason. That's what God looks at. Show it in your actions, not in your words. Don't tell me how spiritual you are. Show me. And when I say show me, I'm not talking about me. This is what God's saying. Because God willing, next week when we get in chapter 2, he's going to say, show me your works. Show me your faith by your works. So it's not just words, but it's action. Listen, you are loved in this church. I just want you to know that. The team prays for you. When you're not here, we know it. We're not going to call you every week pestering you, but we know you're not here. We're praying for you. We hope that you feel that love for you in our smiles and our encouragement to you when you come each week. This is what it's about, right? You'll know them by their what? Their love for one another. So let the world know that you're a Christian by acting out your love for one another. Amen?